The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures, and we continue commenting on the first chapter of the Gospel of St. John. The last session, we mentioned the witness of St. John the Baptist to the Lord, to the Messiah coming, and he said he is the Lamb of God, the real sacrifice given by God Himself to save everyone. And John bore witness, verse 32. John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. So John the Baptist, although he was full of the Spirit, he knew Christ coming. And you all know the story that when he was in the womb of his mother, he worshipped Christ in his mother's womb. When St. Mary visited Elizabeth, actually it happened that with the Holy Spirit, John, as still, you know, like in his mother's womb, he could worship Christ in St. Mary's womb. So he was guided by the Spirit all through his life. But in order to prove that Christ is the Messiah, is the Lord coming, the Logos incarnate, he said it this way, I knew that when the Spirit comes on the head of this man, he is the chosen one, he is the real Messiah, he is the Logos himself. That's why he said it this way, he bore witness. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. And you may know that the dove, you know, simply to let everyone believe that the Holy Spirit is full of meekness, decency, humility. That's the Spirit of God. So that will be the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Spirit descended on his head like a dove. And he remained upon him, remaining upon him to let everyone believe that he's full of divine nature all the time. Because, you know, when the Holy Spirit fill our hearts, we cannot say that we are powerful as God. We are not full of the divine nature of God. But we could be filled with the Spirit. But in Christ, He is different. He is full God. So the Holy Spirit remained on Him. I did not know Him, but He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, this is He who baptized with the Holy Spirit. So from this minute, John the Baptist declared that the coming baptism is different. This man will start a new program, a new baptism. The baptism will be not only by water, but also with the Spirit, because He is the source of life. He is God Himself. He can give birth to His children by the Spirit of God. But John, although he was a great, great prophet, he cannot give birth to children of God. So he said it this way, this one, he will baptize you with the water and Spirit. So baptism with water is far different from baptism with water and Spirit. Because with the Holy Spirit, you will be the child of God. So it's very much different, like more than a repenting action of baptism with water. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. It was important to use this word testifying and witness, because at the time of John the Evangelist writing the Gospel, there were many people saying, who witnessed Christ? Who saw Him baptized? Who said that He was the Lamb of God or the Son of God? Who made it this way? So John the Evangelist is, you know, recording for John the Baptist that he testified this. And thousands of people listened to his words. And he was the first one witness to Christ as the Son of God, as the Lamb of God. And by the way, in the book of John, the Gospel of St. John, you will see clearly how he used the word witnessing many, many, many times, because that's the core of the gospel. He is trying to witness to the divine nature of Christ. That's why he started with St. John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was very much beloved by the Jew people and well known by this generation. So his witness was very important. Again the next day, so we are on the third day from the starting the gospel, he spoke about John the prophet. Then the second day he saw Christ and baptized him. And in his baptism, you know, there were like everyone could understand partially the secret of Holy Trinity. God the Father speaking from heaven, God the Son inside the water, and God the Holy Spirit is descending on his head. That's why we call this day the Theophania, the appearance of the Holy Trinity, the revelation of the secret of God himself in God the Son, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So, and on the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." So he is repeating the same word, that's the Lamb of God. And two of his disciples were very close to him, John the Baptist. One of them was John the Evangelist. The second one was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. So these two disciples were originally the disciples of John the Baptist. So they listened again to the witness of John the Baptist, "This is the Lamb of God." And because they understood the prophecies, they knew that the Lamb of God is the Messiah, Logos the Incarnate, the one who will give his life as a sacrifice, as a ransom for all human beings. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher," because, you know, the Gospel of St. John was written to everyone in the world. It was not written to the Jew people. Sometimes he has to translate the common words of his people, like saying Rabbi. Rabbi is not an English word. It means teacher. Because at this minute they couldn't understand the divine nature of Christ, but they called the great people Rabbi, the teacher. So the two disciples heard John the Baptist speaking, and they followed Jesus. So Jesus asked them, "What do you seek? What do you want me to do?" So that's a very important question, because when you follow Christ, Christ will ask you, "What do you seek? Are you seeking money? Are you seeking fortune? Are you seeking glory? Are you seeking reputation? Are you seeking happiness?" But the answer was perfect, actually. So they said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" So the answer, as if saying, "We need you. We don't need anything but you. We loved you because our teacher, John the Baptist, said that you are the Lamb of God. So we need you yourself. We do not need anything out of you, but we need you. We need the Savior. We need the Lord himself." So the answer was perfect. That's why Christ was happy with the answer. He said to them, "Come and see." So John the Evangelist, Andrew the Apostle, followed Christ because of the witness of John the Baptist. They started to follow Christ from this minute. And they were happy just sitting with him, listening to him. They did not ask for anything for themselves, but they asked for God himself to be their teacher and later on their God. He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. So John although he's writing his gospel like 70 years after these events, but he remembered the story very accurately. So he said that it was the 10th hour, because that was the first time for John the evangelist to see Christ by his eyes. So he remembered this minute very clearly. He said, we stay the whole day with Christ, and it was the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, because the word Messiah was not known by the Greek people, like the word Rabbi, but Messiah meaning Christ. So it's out of chrismation, the chosen one to save others. And he brought him to Jesus. So Andrew moved to bring his beloved brother, Simon Peter, to know Christ. That was the first move of Andrew the apostle. He was very happy knowing Christ, so he wanted his brother to know Christ as well. Now when Jesus looked at him, at Simon Peter, he said, "You are Simon the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated as stone. So by saying his name and his father's name, and also naming his other name, you know, Peter was astonished because of the knowledge of Christ. Christ proved himself from the first minute that he knows everything. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. I want to tell you about the geography of Israel at that time. The northern area called Galilee, and the Galilee part where all the apostles, the 12 apostles and most of the 70 apostles were from Galilee. The Galilee part, you know, was full of farmers and fishermen. And these simple poor people living in villages, that's why there were Capernaum and Nazareth. These were like Cana of Galilee. These were villages in Galilee part. In the southern part, the lowest part of Israel, was Jerusalem, was Judea. And this area was full of rich people, priests, and heads of the Old Testament, heads of the church at that time. So in the middle part, there were the area of Samaria. So you can just imagine three areas: Galilee, Samaria, Judea. So Jesus, our Lord, lived in Galilee in his childhood, and he started his service in the Galilee part, where all the villages and the poor people and the fishermen and, you know, Jordan and baptizing people on the hands of Saint John the Baptist. All these stories were in the Galilee part. He used to go to Judea, to Jerusalem, like other Jew people, in the big days, the feasts, like, you know, the Passover day, the Pentateuch day. So this day is important for any Jew man. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." So now Andrew, John the evangelist, followed him. Then Simon Peter followed him because of the invitation of his brother Andrew. Now Philip, another disciple, will follow him. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So Andrew, Peter, John, James, Philip, they were all from the same village, Bethsaida, a village in Galilee nearby the shore of the sea. Philip found Nathanael, so that's another one, and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Judas." So, you know, in this chapter you can see how the disciples started to be like a team following Christ. They were all from the same village, most of them. They were invited by one of them, and the one is telling the other. Philip went to Nathanael, but he brought the invitation differently. He said it this way: Moses, the one who gave us the law, you know, he spoke about the prophet. Now we found the prophet. We found Jesus of Nazareth. And he called him the son of Joseph, because no one at that time could identify the divine nature of Christ himself. They called him the rabbi. They called him, according to the words of St. John the Baptist, Lamb of God. But, you know, no one could see his divine nature. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Why he said it this way? It was well known at that time, Nazareth was the poorest among the villages. And, you know, the people of Nazareth were not good people. Most of them were aggressive. So people tend to say, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. So Christ originally lived his childhood in Nazareth. He was a carpenter following the career of his father, the father known by the community, Joseph. So he was the carpenter of the village of Nazareth. And no one expected from this village to see any good thing. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. So, you know, Christ started, come and see. Christ told his disciples, first disciples, John and Andrew, come and see. So they started to tell everyone, why don't you come and see? Because now we can see God. We can come to meet God. Now we can touch him. We can listen to his word. So that's, you know, the start of preaching, the start of the New Testament. God is not in heaven anymore. God is on earth. We can see him. Let's come and see. So everyone is inviting his beloved people, please come and see him. Because, you know, no one will answer the question. If you ask any of them about Christ, he knows very little about him. But simply they can't tell anyone, just come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no deceit. By the way, the people of Galilee were not, you know, all of them Israelites, because, you know, they were mixed in their families. And some of the families had some of the pagan background. So the Jew people always boast of being true Israelite. So Nathanael was a real Israelite. Christ wanted to encourage him, so he said, that's a true one. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? It's like when the Lord spoke to Simon Peter saying, you are Simon, you are son of Jonah, you are Cephas. So he was telling him many informations. Again, Christ is telling Nathanael other informations. Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. It seems like this sentence was very, you know, special to Nathanael. Some of the forefathers said that Nathanael, at the minute Philip invited him to come, he was under the fig tree. But other fathers of the church said that in his early childhood, when he was liable to be killed by the hands of Herod's soldiers, when Herod made it this way to kill all the infants before the age of two, Nathanael was at that time, he was about to die, and his mother put him under the fig tree for many days, and she was like visiting him at night to feed him. So that secret was very special to him. So when Christ said, I saw you under the fig tree, it was like a very personal secret. That's why Nathanael loved it so much, started to believe in Christ. Glory to God. Amen.